Well, this morning, let me share a little bit about Journey and how we're set up. We are setting up our church as we're preparing for our launch in March. Is what we're preparing for. The first week in March is actually when we do our public launch. But the way that we are setting everything up is on teams. In other words, it's not built upon Jim or Jennifer or upon Simon or one person particularly. It's built on a team of people that rotate. When I look at the Bible and the gospel, the disciples rotated. It wasn't just built upon Paul. However, he was one of the prominent apostles. He was one of the prominent voices out there. The structure of the New Testament are the fivefold ministry. You see those things represented by five again, which is no coincidence. It represents grace. God's called us to operate as a team. Part of that team is what we call a teaching and preaching team. We're shaping that right now. So the voice that you hear up here is not just myself or not just Jennifer. My wife's a phenomenal preacher, and many people say, almost as good as me. Now, she told me this week that she was better than me. She did. You're prettier than me, too. Well, this morning, we have Steve Brumley. He'll be coming this morning, and Steve is actually part of our preaching and teaching team, and I know that he delivers not just a good, solid word, but a now word from God, and I want you to grab your Bibles, a piece of paper, a pen, and just receive what God has for you. Coming up here, Steve.
Microphone. I'll be honest with you. God kind of put one way down deep inside. And if you don't believe me, ask my kids. They're always saying, Dad, you're preaching to me. I can't help it. That's what we do, you know, and I do it out of a heart of love. And I believe that's one thing we need to understand, that if we're going to preach the gospel, it has to come from a heart of love. And what I want to do is I just want to make a couple changes here. I want to pull this out of here because I'll tell you what, I never know what's going to happen. You know, I never know exactly how God's going to use me. I mean, I might jump over the first pew, okay? So if you see me coming, just duck, okay, because I'm a little bit older, and I probably don't jump as high as I used to, so I don't want to boot you in the head. But just to let you know, I did wear my soft shoes this morning, so if I hit you, it won't be too hard, okay? All right, so, you know, I'm glad to be here. And, you know, I want to dovetail something, you know, Pastor Jim had shared. You know, he shared about, you know, the church launch. You know, he shared about, you know, that really we haven't even left the dock yet. I mean, to be honest with you, we're actually in a place where the water is calm. How many of you have ever been down to the lake? Have you ever noticed what they do is they put in these break walls? I mean, these break walls are out there. And I mean, to be honest with you, as long as you're not beyond the break wall, I mean, the water's pretty calm. I mean, you don't have to worry too much about a wave. I mean, you can just kind of go about your ways and, you know, you can kind of like learn when things aren't too difficult. And that's what we're doing. We're learning as we go forward. We're learning. How many people here this morning can say you're learning? Let me tell you something here. I don't care if you're 4 or 40 or 104. You know, life is about lessons learned. You know, things that we learn as we go forward serving the Lord. You know, I can't tell you, you know, I mean, it's been 25 plus years that I've been serving the Lord. And I can't tell you that I always know exactly what the will of God is. I mean, sometimes it seems so plain, and it seems so obvious. And then you know what? Other times it just seems like, I mean, it's just a journey of faith. And, you know, but as Christians, you know, I don't believe that God just leaves things to chance, okay? I believe that God has a plan. I believe God has a master plan. You know, I believe God wants to reveal that plan to us. You know, I believe he wants to speak to us. And you know what? I believe he does speak to us. So, you know, I want to share a couple things with you out of the Word of God this morning, which I believe that are going to help us, you know, as we all go forward, as we all endeavor to really find the will of God for, you know, for us personally. I mean, the Bible's full of the will of God. You know, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. The Bible says, wives, see that you reverence your husband. The Bible says, children, see that you obey your parents. In the Lord, honor them. So see, the Bible gives us a lot of directions that are kind of general, but then there's also the specific will of God that God has put in each and every one of us. I mean, there is not a man that can come and tell you what the will of God is for your life. I mean, that is something that God has chosen for him to pull out of you personally. And you know what? It doesn't happen because, you know what, you are so well educated. It doesn't happen because, you know what, you are just, you know, you're just God's chosen one. Okay, because to be honest with you, You know, we can all be God's chosen one. That's why the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And this morning, I hope that God does something for you. You're called. Choose to be chosen. You know, that has to be our heart's desires. We have to say, God, I'm here. You know, I set in, and I'm going to start my message here, but I really feel I need to share this with you. You know, I was young in my faith and just going on to really know the Lord and just kind of enjoying God's presence. I actually sat in a meeting, and I mean, there was probably about 10,000 people there, and then, you know, everybody got into just some real intense worship, and I mean, it seemed like from where I was sitting, I was way up there, and I was gathered with about 10,000 other people, and as I looked down, I seen there was really one person that was kind of like leading, and it was kind of like orchestrating the worship. And you know, as I was reaching my hands up to heaven and I was pressing into God, you know, there was something that was on my heart. I said, God, I want to be your man. You know, as I was looking down at that person that was just standing there that seemed to be orchestrating and leading it, I thought to myself, I said, wow. I said, man, that must really be awesome, man. That must be great to be there, to be then the center of everything. And you know what? To just see God moving in an awesome way and just leading other people. And you know, and then I looked around and I got discouraged because I seen there was like 10,000 people there. And I said, you know what? Don't be foolish. You know, there's 10,000 people here. There's 10,000 people here that are probably thinking the same thing that you are. You know, God, I want to be your man. And you know, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord spoke to me. And you know what? He said, be that man. It ain't about being the man. It's about being his man. Amen? It's about being the one he's chosen for us to be. And I don't know what it looks like. You know what? I know what it looks like kind of in my heart. I can almost strain at it. I can almost see it. But you know what? It seems like I'm here and it's out there and I have to keep pressing on and keep pressing forward to grab that thing and to bring it, you know, to bring it into the now. Is anybody else experiencing things like that in their life? I'll tell you, I am. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to go ahead and open up to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning. If you didn't, there are some red ones in the pews, in the red pews. I actually said it to one of the kids this morning. I said, that's pretty cool, man. I got red Bibles in the red pews. I just hope that they're red, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to go ahead and pull out. I'm going to lean upon these glasses. My wife actually got me these fine reading glasses. They're actually the Sarah Palin edition, if you notice. So, I mean, I am with it. I am hip. I am cool. You notice there's no frames. All right. Thank God for a good wife. You know, I found out that, you know what, the will of God for my life is not so much an itinerary. You know, it's not so much a day planner and a Palm Pilot and a BlackBerry. Where'd Pastor Jim go with his, he's got that fancy little dancy little tool. But you know what, I found out that the will of God is not so much an itinerary as it is an attitude. In other words, we have to be willing to walk in the way that he wants us to walk. And that's a piece of cake, isn't it? No, it's not. So with that in mind, in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse number 5, the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It said, but he made of himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of a man, or of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now listen to this. That very first verse in number 5, it says, let this mind, the actual Greek rendition of that is, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ. In verse number 7, it says, he took unto him the form of a servant. And then a little further down, it says, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want to pull three things out of this chapter. First of all, the Bible says, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ. It said that Jesus took unto him the form of a servant. And then it said he went and he humbled himself. So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a biblical principle here, is that God wants us to have an attitude of being a humble servant. That is the will of God. That is a principle that if we'll live by it, I guarantee you, you'll see things begin to happen in your life that only God can do. The Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. But you know what? Unfortunately, nowadays, people don't want to serve. I mean, people want to be served. Nowadays, unfortunately, people want to be somebody great. Mark chapter 10, it said that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Listen to what Jesus said about greatness. He said, but he that is greatest amongst you, he shall be a servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So the simple will of God for each and every one of us is to have an attitude of a humble servant and be willing to walk into the ways that God wants us to. Piece of cake, right? Awesome. That is the will of God. Very simple, to serve God from a humble heart with the same attitude that was in Christ. I'll tell you what, you could leave right now, and I'll tell you what, you could go home and be victorious in Christ if you would just follow the very principle that Christ set before us. But what I want to do is, since we focused on what the will of God is, which is for you to be a humble servant and to have that attitude in serving God, I want to share three things with you this morning what the will of God isn't. Because you know what, I found out that it's not so much what we know, or it's not so much, you know, that we always need to know how things work. Sometimes you need to know how things don't work. You know, I've learned a whole lot more about things and how they can work if I don't do the things that don't work, okay? In other words, you know what, if you know how to treat your wife right and you do those things that you know make her happy and please, I guarantee you, your life's going to be a whole lot easier. Husbands, listen to me. I'll tell you what, my wife has been training me for a while. And I'll tell you what, I'm not where I should be, but I'm not where I used to be. And you know what, if we will make sure that we don't apply these three things into our life, we'll find out that God will begin to unfold his will before us. We'll begin to understand what the will of God is for our lives. We'll understand that, you know what, it's not about me, but it's about him. It's not about me being served, but it's about me being a servant. So I want to share with you real quickly three things that the will of God is not about. Number one, the will of God is not about a title or a position. In other words, it's not about the most holy, super supreme, Reverend Bishop III. It's not about the First Lady extraordinaire, teacher, preacher, prophetess. The will of God is not about the most, where's Todd at? He left, there he is. It's not about, and this isn't for you, brother, I'm just telling you right now, The will of God is not about the most righteous psalmist dude. And to be honest with you, he is kind of the most righteous psalmist dude that I know. Okay, he's pretty good. But you know what? The will of God is not about a title. As a matter of fact, if you're here today and you're seeking after a title, I'm going to give you one. If that's what your heart's motive is, in other words, if you're saying, you know what? I'm willing to be a part of Journey Church because you know what? I want a title. I want a position. Then I'm going to give you one. We're going to call you that crazy person, and you can go sit over there. I know that's hard, but you know what? It's God who's the one that lifts us up. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 75, it says, promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west, but the Bible says promotion cometh from the Lord, for he lifts up one, and he puts the others down. It's the will of God is not about a title or a position, but it's about a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. It's not about us wanting to stand and be noticed, but it's about us being willing to stand in the loneliness of his passion. Okay. And I'll tell you what, the loneliness of his passion is not lifting himself up, and not lifting yourself up, but lifting him up. Amen. Amen. When you learn to lift out Jesus Christ in your life, what will happen is automatically you'll find out I'm just kind of going up right with him. When you begin to put Christ first place in what you're doing, then you'll begin to find the blessing of God being thrown by purpose upon your path. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, and I. He said, I. He said, and I. If I be lifted up from the earth, he said, I will draw all men nigh unto me. So I want to ask you, what is in a title? Seriously, what's in a title? Webster's Dictionary says it's an appellation of dignity, honor, distinction, preeminence, attached to a person or a family by virtue of rank, office, precedence, privilege, attainment, a name conferred on nobility. I hope there's nobody going, oh yeah, I want that. Because I found out one thing, if you raise yourself up and God doesn't raise you up, you don't become nothing but a big target. And I got news for you, you're going to hit a lot of branches on the way going down. But you know what? When we wait upon the Lord, when we're seeking to do His will, when we're seeking to put Him in place, then you'll find out that God has a way of just taking you up right with Him. Listen to what Jesus said in John 4:43. Jesus said to the Pharisees of that time, who were the ones that were supposed to be possessing the right stuff? See, most of us think that, you know, we do possess the right stuff. No. It's not a matter of what you possess. It's a matter of who possesses you. Amen. We need to find ourselves in a place where we're saying, God, I relinquish control to you. You can have everything that I am. You can have everything that I'm not. And then I guarantee you're positioning yourself to be highly blessed of God. Listen to this in John 5:43. Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name. And he said, you do not receive me. He said, if another comes in his own name, he said, him you will receive. And then Jesus asked him this question. He said, how can you believe them who receive honor from one another? He said, but do not seek the honor that comes from God only. Amen. You want to be honored? Amen. Then honor God. Amen. You want to be elevated? Then lift him up. There's a principle. There's a truth here. And let me tell you something here. With God, honor doesn't always come from men. There's going to come times when, you know what, there's nobody going to recognize you. There's going to come times when people are going to you're just going to be an afterthought. But you know, let me tell you what, if we will put God first in our life, we'll find out that he has a way of making things right. With God, an office doesn't necessarily have four walls. You know, everybody wants a pulpit to preach from. You know what the first preacher I preached from was actually a phone booth. Put my Bible on that phone booth, had my own little personal door, couldn't get anybody in, but I had some place to keep me from the rain. But let me tell you something here. With God, an office doesn't necessarily have four walls, and with God, a position doesn't necessarily have a nameplate. It's not going to say pastor. It's awful funny. I always thought this. Why does the word pastor rhyme with disaster? I mean, I can't figure that one out, okay? But it doesn't always come with a title, because titles can divide. Titles can divide. You have a lot of people coming through. What do you want me to call you? I'm going to call you Pastor Steve. What do you feel comfortable with? That's what I asked. I said, what do you feel comfortable with? You want to call me Steve? You want to call me Mr. Steve? There is a line that I'll tell you, don't call me all that. But you know what? The only thing I can tell you is just don't call me Stevie, because that's reserved for all my childhood friends that I grew up. They call me Stevie, okay, but don't do that. But, you know, I was in Chicago, my wife and myself, probably about 5 years ago, and something happened that really kind of blew me away, but there was a lesson to be learned in that. You know, we were in Chicago and we were at a conference, and you know, as you go in to register, they gave everybody name tags, and you know, you stood in line, and I mean, there was a conference, there was probably about 2,000 people there. So we went in and we're standing in line to get our names. You know, you had like A to J here and J to, you know, M here, and then all the way down. So we're standing in line, and I noticed the people that are getting their name tags and putting them on, you know, it's like Joe Brown and, you know, like, you know, Wanda Smith. And so I'm just patiently waiting. I get up there and she hands me my name tag, and it's already in a nice little plastic encasement. And I look at it and they hand it to me, and it said, Pastor Steve Brumley. And it was funny because I looked at it and I thought, you know what? There's nobody else getting a name tag that has the word pastor on it. Everybody else was getting them. They were getting their names, just Joe Schmo. There was no title before this. So when they handed it to me, I said, you know what? I said, do I have to keep this? I said, how come mine's different from everybody else's? Can I get another one? And she goes, no, we can't get you another one because you see how nice these are made and we have nobody else to make them. So if you could just wear it around, you know, it'll be okay. And so I was like, I put it on, but, you know, I didn't feel right. So I just walked around and it said, Pastor Steve. Now, mind you, I'm there for a conference. And what I'm doing is I'm looking around at everybody that's walking by me, and I'm noticing that their name tag is not like my name tag. I mean, it's saying Susie and Wanda and Bill and Joe and Billy. I even seen a couple Steves, but it didn't say Pastor Steve. So, I mean, I'm battling this thing. I'm like, I'm supposed to be here to learn something. I'm like having some serious spiritual warfare. I'm like, wait a second. I feel like I've been set up, man. I almost felt like taking that name tag off and hiding it. And I did on occasion. I took it off, put it in my pocket. But in order to go into a class that you were assigned for, you had to put it back on. So I'm walking in, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't really want to wear this. It's like, man, why did this happen? Why are these mistakes kind of happening? I was there for 2 days, and I didn't see anybody else that had on their name tag, pastor, anything. So, you know, I'm kind of like learning to live with it and deal with it, and, you know, I just had to do it. So I'm standing there. We're meeting other people, which you do at conferences. I'm standing there meeting and greeting other people, and one guy walks up, and, you know, he just comes out of the blue. It's almost like I seen him coming. I'm like, oh, geez, I'm in trouble now. He just walked in. It's like I seen him coming. It was like all the time stopped. I'm like, what's going on here? It's almost like all the time stopped. I could almost hear my heart beating, boom, 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 boom. And this guy walks up to me, and here's what he says. He looks at me, and he goes, so your first name is Pastor, is it? And I was like, man, I was hoping nobody would notice that mistake there. He goes, you know what? I thought about it. I said, no. I said, to be honest with you, God just wanted to let everybody know who was in charge. I don't know how that flippantly came off my lip. But you know what? Let me tell you something here. You don't have to go about telling everybody the authority that you have in Christ. Because let me tell you something here. When God confers authority upon you, you know what? You don't have to have a big name and a title. Amen? It's going to be God making it an office and a place for you. Let me tell you something here. When you honor him, the Bible says that in turn he will honor us in Christ. Set that example. When I was growing up in Christ, you know what? I was at a church where we didn't even call. I like that. It's Jim. You know, I have to introduce him as Pastor Jim because that's just what I do. And I tell my children to call him Pastor Jim. But you know what? There are times that I call him Jim. But when I introduce him, I'm going to introduce him because it's not so much that he's wanting it, but that I'm recognizing it. I'm saying, you know what? You don't have to tell me. I recognize the authority that you walk in. And you know, my senior pastor, you know what? Never did you ever call him Pastor Beatty. Brother Beatty. It was Brother Beatty. He didn't have to have Pastor Beatty in front of his name. Everybody knew who he was. Just by hanging around him, you go, he's the pastor. You didn't doubt that. So see, it's something that God confers about us. So you know what? The will of God is not about a title and a position. And the will of God is not about an image. It's not about the way that I want you to think about me. You know, everybody wants to be seen doing the great things. The things up front, the things at the top. But you know what I've learned? Remember this. The only time you ever start at the top is when you're digging a hole. That's a fact. The only time you ever start at the top is when you're digging a hole. You know, very few people are willing to do the behind-the-scenes stuff. I have to do this because the little stuff, quote, the little stuff. But let me tell you something here. It's in the little stuff that we learn stewardship. It's in the little stuff that we learn faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Because it's in the little stuff that we sharpen our skills. It's where David learned to slay his giants. And it's where Moses led to lead God's millions. It's in the little things that nobody recognizes and notices but God. When we have that heart of a servant, then what ends up happening is God says, don't worry, I see you. Keep doing what I've called you to do. I see you. I recognize you. You are honoring me. You know, I learned a long time ago is you can't be too big to do the little stuff. You know, some people in church, they are so big, they can't do the little stuff. I mean, if you'd ask them to do something, they'd go, I can't do that, brother. God didn't call me to that. I'm serious. I mean, I've met them. You've met them. You go and you ask them, you know, hey, brother, could you go ahead and say, well, no, you know, brother, can't do that. And you know what? I asked a friend of mine years ago, I said, you know what? I said, why do you think it is that there's 20% of the people doing like 80% of the work in the church? I mean, is it because they don't know? I mean, don't they understand the rewarding that comes from God through faith? Do they not know that? I mean, that's elementary. And he goes, you know, that could be. And, you know, I've thought about this over the years. And you know what? The reason I believe that most people aren't willing to do something is because when they're asked to do something, it's beneath them. No, brother, I can't do that. Hey, how would you guys like to teach a preschool class? No, brother, can't do that. You know, it's awful funny that people in the church, you know, they don't know what they're called to, but, you know, they do know what they're not called to. I mean, I could survey 100 people in the church, and I guarantee you, I'm going to probably get about 80% of the people. I say, hey, praise the Lord. So what has God called you to do? Don't know, brother. You don't? Standing idle in the marketplace? Hey, how about if you just come and be a part of this? No, I can't do that, brother. I got to pray about that. And then you never hear from them. You know, there's some things, you know, you just don't have to pray about. I'm serious. When it comes to doing something for God, you know what? I'm not talking about a lifetime membership commitment. We're talking about a one-time task. We're talking about presenting yourself before the Lord and saying, God, not my will, but your will. You know, we begin to have that attitude, you're going to see things begin to happen in your life. And not slow, but exponentially. Because God will be able to build upon what you've already established, what you've already allowed him to build upon. He'll continue to do that. So I found out that you can't be too little to do the, excuse me, I better get my glasses back here. So, my wife said that I should do a bigger font from now on. So, you know, I'm going to listen to my wife there, okay? She said, did you do a bigger font? I said, I did number 12. I've been doing number 12 since I've been preaching. And she said, you know what? Hey, Mr. Young Guy, make a bigger font. So I think right here I just had an epiphany, a moment. All right, you ever have those? You know, you can't be too big to do the little stuff, but then again, you can't be too little to do the big stuff. And you will never be little enough to do the big stuff until you're first big enough to do the little stuff. When it comes to image, we can't be concerned about how we look to men and what they think. You know, I have a saying, you'll begin to care a whole lot less what other people think about you when you realize how little they do think about you. You were not always on their mind. I'm just telling you right there. You might always be on God's mind, but you're not always on their mind. And remember that God sees the things done in the background. Remember that in the eyes of man, David was just an afterthought. Think about that. Think about that. In the eyes of men, Moses was a has-been. You blew it. You messed up. Forget about it. There's not a second chance. I said the devil's a liar this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered and do minister to the saints. God doesn't forget your labor of love because it was towards him. Did you know what it said? It's a labor of love. Why do I do the things that I do? I do it because I love him. It's a labor of love. You know, when I first met my wife, Tammy, well, at that time she wasn't my wife, but she was just my friend. I actually got up. I had only known her about a week. I actually lived all the way out in West Park, and at that time she lived on 117th off Detroit. Let me tell you what love will have you do. It'll have you do some crazy stuff. I mean, seriously. I mean, if you're not married, you know what? Be thankful for where you're at right now. Because when you meet that one, I got news for you. You're going to be doing some crazy stuff. And you're going to be wondering, why am I doing it? It's because of love. You know, I actually got up, and I mean, it was one of those days that we had that, I mean, it was a horrible snowstorm. I mean, man, the snow, I mean, for the most part, you could have just called in and said, hey, I'm taking the day off. That's it. Just can't come in, can't make it in. My car's going to bottom out. You know what I did is I actually got up, woke up, all that snow was out there. I got up there and I got all the snow off the car, broomed it off. And then I had to back, you know, do the driveway. And, you know, the only thing I had on my mind while I'm doing all this work and labor is, you know what, I'm going to go down there. Oh, I'm going to drive all the way through them bad roads. And I'm going to go down to 117th Street. And I'm going to get down there. And I'm going to go ahead and clean off Tammy's windshield before she gets down into her car. Let me tell you something. Your love will cause you to do some crazy crazy things. When I first came to know Christ, somebody told me, they said, hey, well, I was like, man, what does God want us to do? I'm so thankful. What does God want us to do? He said, brother, God wants you to go out and stand out and pass out tracts. And I know some of y'all don't do that. Some of you do. But this was, I'm talking 25 years ago. And I said, I'll do it. And it's another one of them snow days. I'm standing out there. I'm telling you what, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I guarantee you, the only people that are out were the crazies, okay? And I was one of them. And I'm standing there, man, I was like, you know what, now, about every 30 minutes, somebody, man, it was probably a homeless person, just going through, you know, just fighting through the snow. And as they were going by, man, I'd hand out a track. God loves you. And it was funny because they were like this. Then all of a sudden they would just stop, you know, and it's like this one guy took it and he pulled it into him because you couldn't keep it out there. The wind would have blown it away. So he pulled it into him and he looked up at me and he goes, "What are you, crazy?" And I thought, man, this guy must be a prophet. Because yes, I was. You know what? I was crazy in love with God. And you know, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what I looked like. I did it because you know what? I wasn't concerned about an image. He thought I was crazy. Hey, I'm crazy, but I'm crazy in love. Amen. The third thing I want to share with you about what the will of God is not, the will of God is not about competition. It's not about competition. You know what? It's about order. It's about alignment. If I can put it this way, it's about God getting all his ducks in a row. In other words, every person taking their place. If you don't believe God is a God of order, just go to the book of Genesis. Start reading. I guarantee you by the time you get to the third chapter, you're going to say, whoo, that God is a God of order. God does things intentionally. He does things purposefully. So if we understand that, then what it'll do, it'll get rid of the competition. It'll get rid of the striving for a title, a position. Striving for trying to obtain an image of the way people should think about you, the way you would like for them to think upon you. It would stop the warring in our churches if we would understand that every member has a place in the body of Christ. I'm going to close with a couple more scriptures. I pray what I was able to share with you will help you as you go forward today. In James chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings amongst you? He said, come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? It says, ye lust and ye have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain." He said, "You fight and you war." And he said, "You have not because you ask not." He said, "You ask and you receive not." He said, "Because you ask amiss." He said, "That it may be consumed upon your lusts." Why are people fighting and fussing in the church? Is because, you know what? They have not asked the Father what they should do. And then when you do ask, you know what? It's not what you want to hear. It's not big enough. It's not good enough. It's not what I envisioned. It's not what I saw. It's not what I'm believing for. Church, if we're going to be effective before people, we're all going to have to take our proper place in the body of Christ. If you don't know where that's at, it starts with being a servant. It starts with being and having the same mind that was in Christ. The very principle I set out at the very beginning of this message is that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. It said, though he was God. Yes. The Bible says he thought it not robbery. The reason he thought it not robbery is because, you know what? It was his. It was his to have. But he said that he took on him a form of a man, the form of a servant, and he humbled himself. And the Bible says all the way unto the cross. So the will of God is not about a title. It's not about a position. It's not about an image. And it's not about competition. It's simply us being willing to walk in the way that he wants us to. It's about having the attitude of a humble servant. Now we're at the end, but I want to take you to the beginning and then we're going to pray. Back to the very beginning of scripture that we quoted in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. I want to go ahead and read that again, but what I want to do is I want to finish the chapter because, to be honest with you, I kind of shortchanged you there. I actually just gave you half of it. So I'm going to read the first half, and then we're going to go ahead and read the second half. It said, "Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." It said, "But he made himself no reputation. He took unto him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now listen to this. "Wherefore, but because of all that, because of his attitude, because of his humbling, because of his servanthood, it says God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we put God first place in our life and we take on that very nature of being a servant in Christ, then what will end up happening is you automatically, when you lift up God, you automatically kind of get drug up with him. Amen. Because of all the things that Christ did, the Bible says, because he did those things, wherefore, because of that, God has taken him and highly exalted him. Amen. If there's a place of prominence, if there's something in your heart, something that God has birthed within you that you say, you know what, I know God has called me and destined me to greatness. Let me tell you something. There's not a person sitting in here that God has not birthed destiny into your life. God wants to bring that forth. But, you know, God has a process. And we have to be willing to go through that process. And when we're willing to do that, when we're willing to have that mind, then what ends up happening is we begin to find ourselves going higher and higher and higher and higher in the things of God. You know, God has no desire to see people fall from high places. But you know what? That happens when we don't humble ourselves. We don't present ourselves to the Lord as a servant and then also go and serve one another. What ends up happening is we end up exalting ourselves. In that scripture I read earlier, it says, everybody that exalts themselves shall be abased, but he that humbles himself, God shall lift up. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to take a minute. I just want you to let that word sink into your heart. Amen. I just want you to just go ahead and take it and just let it sink. I'm just going to get quiet. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Can you just begin to worship him a little bit? Amen. Can you just begin to just worship him? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen. You know, I tell you what, I believe with my whole heart that the 9/10 of finding the will of God for your life comes from simply putting yourself in neutral and just kind of having a neutral heart and say, God, you know what? It's your will, God. It's your will. It's not my will. It's God, it's what you want me to do, not what I want to do. It's like park. And maybe you felt like you've been parked for a while. Tried to, man, you just bump into things. Or you go to throw it up in reverse and it's like, man, it's no better. You know, you can't go forward and you can't go backwards because you are where you are. Today, you are where you are. But I'm letting you know that you can take it and you can slip it into neutral. And you can just say, God, whatever you want me to do, God, whatever your will is for my life, I say yes to that. Amen. No preconceived ideas. I find out a lot of time when I get myself out of the way, you know what? Then his will just comes forward. His plans, his purposes begin to unfold. And then really all I got to do is just start following the open doors. All I got to do is just by step, by faith, say yes, yes, Lord. Yes, God, this is what you want me to do, Lord. I'll do it. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to take faith. The Bible says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to make sure I close this message properly. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some would count slackness. It says, but he's long-suffering toward us. It said, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the best way I know how to end this message is, if you're here today and you say, man, what are you talking about? Will. Man, I have no idea what you're even talking about. Well, I just spoke some will of God for your life. Amen. It's God's will that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. That means to come to know Jesus as your personal Savior and the personal Lord of your life. If you're a young person and you're here and you're saying, you know what, Pastor Steve? I've had struggles trying to, as you said earlier, get my ducks in the row, trying to head in the right direction, trying to figure out what God has for me. I know deep down inside of me there's something. I know there is, but I haven't been able to just get on track. It begins right there. So as I close this, if there's anybody here today, I don't care whether you're young or old, I don't care if you've even been sitting in the church for a while, if you say, Pastor Steve, you know what? I want to accept God's will in my life, and that's knowing Jesus as my Savior. If you're here, you know what? I would find it a pleasure to be able to pray with you. Is there anybody? Anybody here today in the sound of my voice that says, Pastor Steve, I don't know Jesus, but I'd like to. All right, I take it everybody's saved here. Awesome, awesome. Don't feel no pressure. The only pressure anybody puts you on you is the conviction that, you know, that God just allows to come our ways. So here's what I want to do. I want to end with prayer. I'm going to invite Pastor Jim to come on up. Amen. I want to pray for you. Amen. Father, I pray for each person here under the sound of my voice, God. Lord, those that call Journey their home. Father, maybe those that just came here for the very first time. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. God, that they would fulfill the will of God in their lives, Father. God, I pray that when every page has been turned in their life, and God, whenever the last chapter is written and the back cover of the book is to be closed, Father, I pray that their epitaph would not say they did not fulfill the will of God. I pray that each person here, Father, would accept the will of God in their lives. And God, as they humble themselves, even as Christ did, God, I pray that you would raise them up. That you would raise them up, Father, to fulfill the total purpose and plan and will of God for their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you, Pastor Jim. He's quick.